Welcome to day 101 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are continuing in the exciting book of 1 Samuel. Today's chapter readings will come from 1 Samuel chapters 13 and 14, and we will begin to see more of the kingship of King Saul, and then we'll also introduce his son Jonathan. So beginning at 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 in the New American Standard Bible. Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years over Israel. Now Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, of which 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash in the hill country of Bethel, while 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah of Benjamin. But he sent away the rest of the people, each to his tent. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." All Israel heard the news that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel had become odious to the Philistines. The people were then summoned to Saul at Gilgal. Now the Philistines assembled to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people like the sand which is on the seashore in abundance. And they came up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were hard pressed, then the people hid themselves in caves, in thickets, in cliffs, in cellars, and in pits. Also, some of the Hebrews crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Now he waited 7 days, according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattering from me, that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men. Now Saul and his son Jonathan and the people who were present with them were staying in Geba of Benjamin while the Philistines camped at Michmash. And the raiders came from the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned toward Ophrah, to the land of Shual, and another company turned toward Beth Horon, and another company turned toward the border, which overlooks the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. Now no blacksmith could be found in all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, "Otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears." So all Israel went down to the Philistines, each to sharpen his plowshare, his mattock, his axe, and his hoe. The charge was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to fix the hoes. So it came about on the day of battle that neither sword nor spear was found in the hands of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and his son Jonathan. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. Chapter 14. Now the day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come, and let us cross over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah, under the pomegranate tree which is in Migron. And the people who were with him were about 600 men. And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord at Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to cross over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp crag on the one side and a sharp crag on the other side. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Seneh. The one crag rose on the north side opposite Michmash, and the other on the south opposite Geba. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come, and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by a few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself, and here I am with you according to your desire." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will cross over to the men and reveal ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has given them into our hands, and this shall be the sign to us." When both of them revealed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines said, "Behold, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." So the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will tell you something." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer behind him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer put some to death after him. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half a furrow in an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among the people. Even the garrison and the raiders trembled, and the earth quaked so that it became a great trembling. Now Saul's watchmen in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went here and there. Saul said to the people who were with him, "Number now and see who has gone from us." And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Then Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For the ark of God was at that time with the sons of Israel. While Saul talked to the priest, the commotion in the camp of the Philistines continued and increased. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him rallied and came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was great confusion. Now the Hebrews who were with the Philistines previously, who went up with them all around in the camp, even they also turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the men of Israel who had hidden themselves in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines had fled, even they also pursued them closely in the battle. So the Lord delivered Israel that day, and the battle spread beyond Beth Aven. Now the men of Israel were hard pressed on that day, for Saul had put the people under oath, saying, "Cursed be the man who eats food before evening, and until I have avenged myself on my enemies." So none of the people tasted food. All the people of the land entered the forest, and there was honey on the ground. When the people entered the forest, behold, There was a flow of honey, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard when his father put the people under oath. Therefore, he put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the people said, "Your father strictly put the people under oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man who eats food today.'" And the people were weary. Then Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. See now how my eyes have brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if only the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For now the slaughter among the Philistines has not been great." They struck among the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very weary. The people rushed greedily upon the spoil and took the sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, "Behold, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood." And he said, "You have acted treacherously. Roll a great stone to me today." Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people and say to them, 'Each one of you bring me his ox or his sheep and slaughter it here and eat, and do not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood.'" So all the people that night brought each one his ox with them and slaughtered it there. And Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first altar that he built to the Lord. Then Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and take spoil among them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them." And they said, "Do whatever seems good to you." So the priest said, "Let us draw near to God here." Saul inquired of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into the hand of Israel?" But he did not answer him on that day. Saul said, "Draw near here, all you chiefs of the people, and investigate and see how this sin has happened today. For as the Lord lives who delivers Israel, though it is in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die." But not one of all the people answered him. Then he said to all Israel, "You shall be on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side." And the people said to Saul, "Do what seems good to you." And therefore Saul said to the Lord, the God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot." And Jonathan and Saul were taken, but the people escaped. Saul said, "Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son." And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." So Jonathan told him and said, "I indeed tasted a little honey with the end of the staff that was in my hand. Here I am, I must die." Saul said, "May God do this to me and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan." But the people said to Saul, "Must Jonathan die, who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul went up from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Now when Saul had taken the kingdom over Israel, he fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, the sons of Ammon, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. And wherever he turned, he inflicted punishment. He acted valiantly and defeated the Amalekites and delivered Israel from the hands of those who plundered them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ishvi and Malki-Shua, and the names of his two daughters were these: the name of the firstborn, Merab; the name of the younger, Michal. The name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz, and the name of the captain of his army was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. Now the war against the Philistines was severe all the days of Saul, and when Saul saw any mighty man or any valiant man, he attached him to his staff. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's Bible reading, we see a very stark difference between a person who's operating out of fear and a person who's operating in faith. And the two characters that give us these illustrations are King Saul, who operated out of fear, and his son Jonathan, who operated in faith and got a victory. We hear this amazing story of how Saul was being confronted by a very vast Philistine army that had assembled to fight against them. It says that there were 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people like the sand on the seashore in abundance. And when Saul took an accounting of who he had with him after all the desertions he faced because of the men fearing and seeing this great multitude, he had only 600 men. There was absolutely no comparison in their armies whatsoever. It was an impossible situation that only a miracle-working God could turn around. And yet, the people of Israel had seen God do miracles with armies threatening them in the past. And if they had continued in faith, they would have seen another one. But what happened here really illustrates to us the danger of walking in a spirit of fear. We find, as the story opens in 1 Samuel chapter 13, that the prophet Samuel had given King Saul some very specific directions. He had told him to go to Gilgal and wait for 7 days. And then on the 7th day, this appointed day, Samuel would come and offer a sacrifice to the Lord on behalf of Israel and on behalf of the army. And then they could go into battle. He could see the Philistine army preparing for battle. No doubt it was an overwhelming sight. His own men saw it, and many of them deserted the army. What had begun as 3,000 men of Israel, of which 2,000 were with Saul and 1,000 were with Jonathan, came down to a handful of just 600 soldiers remaining with Saul. So there's no doubt that the natural appearance of the situation looked impossible, and the battle looked like there was no possible way that they could win. However, when the days passed by and Samuel the prophet was supposed to arrive on the 7th day, the hours of the day are ticking away, and King Saul got so nervous, especially when he saw the people deserting, that he ends up disobeying the word of the Lord that had come through Samuel and taking matters into his own hands. And he basically intrudes into the office of the priest, because only the Levitical priests were allowed, according to God's law, to offer the sacrifice to the Lord. Samuel was from the Levitical line, and so he was able to come and offer the sacrifice. So when he tarried, the scripture says, and no doubt Samuel intentionally waited till the last moment to appear to test King Saul's faith, whether he would trust the Lord and whether he would obey the Lord. And so when he tarried and didn't come at the beginning of the day, and no doubt much of the day had passed, King Saul took matters into his own hands and he offered the sacrifice himself. And then as soon as he offered the sacrifice, here came the prophet Samuel. And he asked the king, "What have you done?" And Saul's answer is rather pitiful because it reveals his state of mind and really the state of his spirit. It says, "Because I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the appointed days," which wasn't true. He did come. He just came at the end of the day. "And that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, therefore I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." The prophet tells him, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. He just told him, if you had obeyed God, God would have established your kingdom forever. You would have had a lineage of priests coming from your own generations. But now, your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So here we see a disobedient king, a fearful king, a king that was afraid of the people, who had quite literally the fear of man in his life. He's afraid the people wouldn't support him, afraid the people would turn away, saw people deserting. So he had this fear of man. In the book of Proverbs, we're told the fear of man brings a snare. When you're afraid of what people are doing or what people are saying or what they will do or will say, rather than looking strictly to the Lord and trusting God for the outcome of your situation, you are bringing yourself into a snare. If you react because of fear of what the people will do or say, you bring your own self into a snare and bring trouble to your own situation. And that is exactly what Saul did here. Secondly, he did not have the faith to wait as he was instructed by Samuel. Samuel said, wait until I come, and then I'll offer the sacrifice. He didn't have the faith to believe the word of the Lord that had come through the prophet. Instead, he operated or acted out of fear. And fear is always the enemy of faith. Fear will tell you, you better do something. Fear will push you to do something that God would not want you to do. Anytime you're making a decision or choosing to act because of fear, you will always make a mistake. That is exactly what King Saul did. He acted out of fear. He acted out of the fear of men. He acted out of a lack of trust and faith in the Lord, and he took matters into his own hands. And when he did so, he directly violated the commandment of the Lord, which said that only the Levites could offer the burnt offering. And in a way, it's similar to when people today approach God the way they want to approach God. At this time, there was a very specific way that the Israelites were instructed on how to approach the Lord. Today, we can approach the Lord through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice that Jesus offered for us, and with faith in that blood that he shed, we can be free to approach the Lord. But many people today say, oh, there's many paths to God, so I can approach God based on my good works, the merits of what I've done in my life, the fact that I'm a good person, or the fact that I go to the Buddhist temple every day, or whatever it is that they've chosen as, in their own mind, their way to approach God. And yet it's foolish. It's absolutely not in line with God's way of approaching him that he has set up. Just in that same way, Saul approached God himself, took the burnt offering, made the burnt offering as if somehow that would get him favor with God. But disobedience to God never brings favor from the Lord, and that's exactly what King Saul was doing here. I want to contrast King Saul's behavior, which was completely out of fear, to his son Jonathan, who operated out of a different spirit. He was operating out of a spirit of faith. Jonathan saw the same Philistine army. Jonathan saw the same overwhelming odds, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, soldiers like the sand of the seashore. He saw the same thing that the Israelite army was facing that King Saul could see. But his response to it was astonishingly different. It came from a different spirit. And I absolutely love what Jonathan said that brought him the victory that he got that day for Israel. And despite his father's disobedience to the Lord still gave Israel a victory because God always responds to faith. And that day, God was responding to Jonathan's faith. He and his armor bearer snuck out of the Israelite camp and crossed over to the Philistines' garrison of soldiers. And he didn't tell his father he was doing this. He had a an unction, you could say. He had an idea in his spirit from the Lord. And he says, come, let us cross over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. Basically, he is making the statement that God is not restricted to having a large army to be able to win a victory. He can do it with a few. That was Jonathan's faith speaking. He believed it. And the way we know he believed it, because he took action that was in accordance with his faith. By himself, with only his armor bearer with him, he goes up straight up and confronts an entire garrison of soldiers from the Philistine army. I love the way that the Amplified says it. It says, for there is nothing to prevent the Lord from saving by many or by few. So he was not looking at the number of the Israelite army in comparison with the number of soldiers that the Philistines had. He was looking at the power of a great God who is able to undertake any difficulty and turn it around without the need for human intervention. And that's exactly what he received. He received a miracle. The victory that was given to the Israelites that day was miraculous. It wasn't based on the number of soldiers. Jonathan himself wasn't able to go and kill all the soldiers personally. But the Lord met Jonathan's faith by causing confusion to come into that garrison and fear to grip them. The Philistines, when they saw Jonathan and his armor bearer, they said, behold, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves. So they said, oh, come up to us and we're going to tell you something. Most likely the Philistines thought, oh, we're going to kill you, you two silly guys who have the nerve to come crawling out of the holes you've been hiding in. But Jonathan took that as a word from the Lord, that the Lord had given them into the hands of Israel, even though there was no natural way that Jonathan and his armor bearer, both young men, could possibly have a victory over an entire garrison of soldiers. But by faith, he went up and he began to effect a slaughter with just the two of them. And then a supernatural thing happened. The earth started quaking until it became a great trembling. That was the result of Jonathan's faith and God meeting that faith. And then he caused this earthquake and trembling and fear that started coming on those soldiers. Jonathan and his armor bearer killed about 20 men in this small area, and then the Lord took it from there and gave them a great victory. Fear fell on the Philistines, and they were able to begin to have the Israelite soldiers rally and go into the battle, because suddenly the Philistines, the scripture says, the multitude melted away. They went here and there. They were just gripped with fear. That was supernatural. They certainly weren't afraid of Jonathan and his armor bearer in the natural. They certainly weren't afraid of Saul and his 600 men in comparison with their multitude of thousands of men. They were overtaken by a supernatural situation that God brought to pass in direct response to Jonathan's faith. And so we have here this amazing contrast. You know, there's no situation that you are facing today that God is not able to overcome. The degree of difference between the sizes of these two armies, the Philistines and the Israelites, was huge. It looked impossible. Your situation, your problem, the level of difficulty you're facing might look huge. But God is able, if you will go to Him in faith and say, nothing restricts you. Lord, there is nothing to prevent you from saving by many or by few. With my humble situation, you can still bring a miracle. Despite how few resources I have, you can still bring a deliverance. Lord, you are able to do that. Jonathan just went with his faith in God's ability to deliver them from this situation. If you will go to God with that same faith, God will meet you and cause a miraculous deliverance to come into your life and into your situation, into your finances, into your family problem, into your problem at work or at school. But he's looking for a heart of faith. Samuel told King Saul that he had done foolishly when he operated out of fear, when he moved out of fear, when he made decisions out of fear, when he disobeyed God because of fear, when he took matters into his own hands out of fear. He told him, "You have acted foolishly." God is looking for someone with a heart after himself. And the prophet told King Saul, "The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart." And he also told Saul that he was going to remove him from his position because he had not kept what the Lord had commanded him to do. The Lord wants to help you. God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. God wants to anoint you. But he's looking for someone who has a heart after him, someone who can believe him, who can have faith in God's goodness and his power, and also someone who will obey him and will trust him even when circumstances look disastrous. That's a choice that you have to make. You have to be willing to stand your ground when it looks like you're about to be overwhelmed, when it looks like things are about to go terribly wrong, and yet you have a promise from God that he's with you, he will not forsake you, and that he will help you. And you have to stand your ground, not take matters into your own hands, not disobey the Lord because you're afraid to stand and trust him. And God will show you a miraculous deliverance like he did with Jonathan. And that's his heart for you today. God bless you and give you a victorious day.